Democrats are pushing forward with President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, and they may resort to a budgetary tactic known as reconciliation if they can't get Republicans on board.
The president, according to White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, will defer to Congress on the process, but the new administration does think the bill should be bipartisan.
We want Republicans to work with Republicans on fighting COVID and putting the American people back to work. As we work on this bill, our priority is on getting it through and not on the focus on what the parliamentary process is.
And this debate comes at the end of President Biden's first full week in office and ahead of Donald Trump's impeachment trial next month. Let's bring in Olivia Nuzzi, Washington correspondent for The New York Magazine. Welcome, Olivia.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Also, we have with us Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for NBC News. Welcome back, Sahil.
Great to be back.
Okay, let's start with the flurry of executive actions from President Biden. He signed dozens of them, and so many of them are focused on racial justice. We heard from Susan Rice, the head of the president's domestic policy council, actually say this racial equity lens will extend throughout the government. And here she is actually speaking to reporters about this week.
We'll hold the federal government accountable for advancing equity for families across America. I have the support of every White House office and every agency in this work because, as President Biden has made clear, advancing equity is everybody's job.
Sahil, how would you characterize the start of this administration? I mean, it's one of the first times we've ever seen an administration this explicitly speak about racial justice.
It's been very heavy on executive orders and executive action, specifically on undoing many of the actions, what Biden would call the damage of the Trump administration. We've already seen the new president rejoin the Paris Accords, fortify DACA, stop the border wall, freeze evictions and foreclosures, and extend, you know, collection on federal student loans. And you mentioned racial equality orders, which was a major theme of President Biden's campaign, a big issue in terms of where the Democratic Party is headed. So that's been the focus of his administration so far. But as the president knows, executive orders are written in pencil and can easily be erased by his or her successor. Legislation is written in Sharpie. It's much more difficult to undo. And that's where we have yet to see what the new Biden administration is made of.
Yes. One big thing on the table right now is specifically the president's massive COVID relief proposal. Democrats are considering pushing it through Congress using something called budget reconciliation. And not everyone is actually up for this. Republican Senator Rob Portman of Ohio told NPR's Sue Davis this week that he thinks getting the bill through that way poisons the well.
I think you've got to be careful that you don't start off in a very highly partisan way, because between impeachment and a reconciliation bill, particularly one where you ignore the rules of reconciliation, which people are talking about, I think you set a really bad tone, at least for months and maybe for the first term, the first 2 years at least.
Portman went on to say that we should actually take a deep breath and reread Biden's inaugural address, which stressed unity. Olivia, are Democrats going to use budget reconciliation? And if they do, what are they risking?
Well, they are certainly considering it. But, you know, as I was listening to those comments, I was thinking about how in the Trump administration, reconciliation was used. It was used for one of Donald Trump's only significant pieces of legislation, which was the tax reform bill. And I don't recall hearing the same level of pushback that we're hearing during this debate, certainly not from Republicans during that era. So I think it would be easy for the White House, for Democrats, to remind the public that Republicans were all right with that when it was Donald Trump doing it. But I also think that bipartisanship certainly and unity certainly was a theme and continues to be a theme for Joe Biden. He, on the campaign trail, often sounded shockingly optimistic about what he thought he would be able to achieve in terms of working across the aisle, especially knowing that he lived through and was a major part of the Obama era when, you know, the trends of negative partisanship really worsened over 8 years. He has always been pretty upbeat and pretty optimistic, nevertheless, about what he thinks is achievable in terms of bipartisan support. report. So I do think that there's something to the idea that this might set a negative tone, but I also think that it might be difficult to take the criticism seriously given the fact that the Trump administration used this to their advantage when they needed to.
Well, Olivia, speaking of the Trump administration, what do you make of this meeting in Florida with the Republican House Minority Leader and Donald Trump? McCarthy was there at Mar-a-Lago to talk about the 2022 midterms. He's talking to a former president. That's pretty remarkable, don't you think?
A former president who he has had quite a lot of conflict with recently. Recall that McCarthy blamed the president for the insurrection, for inciting it. And the president responded by calling him a name that I don't believe I can repeat on this show. and frankly, a very offensive gendered term. And they have, they have had a pretty contentious couple of weeks here. And while other Republicans, I think Mitch McConnell, it's been reported that he does not ever want to speak to the president again or the former president again. McCarthy is kind of crawling back to him, seeking his approval. And it's interesting. It's one of these situations where it seems like by seeking his approval, by making up with him, by thawing the relationship, McCarthy is sort of re-legitimizing Trump and legitimizing the idea that he will continue to be a kingmaker in the party going forward. So this idea that there's going to be a post-Trump Republican Party, that the party is sort of free from his grip and will be able to rebrand themselves in his absence, seems to be undercut by McCarthy's behavior going there, posing for a photo with the former president at Mar-a-Lago.
Sahil, take up Mitch McConnell there. He had said he was open to convicting the president in an impeachment trial, but then this week he sided with most other Republicans in a vote that declared the trial unconstitutional. What do you think? Have the political winds just completely shifted now more than 3 weeks after this attack?
Yeah, what we saw earlier from Mitch McConnell increasingly appears to be a trial balloon that burst pretty quickly. We do know that there are people around Mitch McConnell, including in his orbit, who want Trump gone and who want the Republicans to chart a new course. But McConnell is where he is because he is very good at reading the political winds and doing what Republican voters want him to do. And it's quite clear based on the data we've seen and the reactions we've seen since the insurrection that this is very much still Donald Trump's party. That is why Kevin McCarthy went to meet with him to shore up his position in the House Republican Conference when he's being pressured from both ends simultaneously to denounce some of the Trumpian elements, simultaneously to support the former president. So I would expect McConnell to go along with where the prevailing consensus is within the Republican base. And at this moment, it appears to be with acquittal. And yes, that vote was enormously symbolic. 45 out of 50 Republican senators voting to dismiss the trial on constitutional grounds. Right. It's very hard for those 45 to turn around and say, yes, we should convict him when we think the whole thing was illegitimate.
Well, Sahil, I want to ask you about something else, though. Democratic Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia says he's actually drafting a resolution to censure former President Trump. What would a censure actually mean, and is there an appetite for that?
Well, it's basically a slap on the wrist with no meaning beyond Congress stating, a sense of disapproval for the president's actions. What Kaine has said is it would call what happened on January 6th an insurrection and say that the president aided and abetted the rioters. Beyond that, Kaine is interested in including language that would invoke the 14th Amendment to bar President Trump from holding office again. And this is already running into pretty much the same procedural obstacles as the impeachment trial. As I spoke to several Republican senators just yesterday, including Rand Paul of Kentucky, Ted Cruz of Texas, both of them said that a censure resolution that bars the former president from holding office again would be unconstitutional. So I would expect Republicans to find a procedural escape from voting to punish the president, no matter how Democrats try to slice it.
Olivia, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi criticized Republican leadership this week for putting Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on the House Education and Labor Committee. We've been reporting on Greene, as many other outlets have. She's promoted baseless QAnon conspiracy theories. She's also agreed with social media posts that claim that school shootings were staged events trying to take people's gun rights away. Let's listen to this from Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Assigning her to the Education Committee when she has mocked the killing of little children at Sandy Hook Elementary School, when she has mocked the killing of teenagers in high school at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, what could they be thinking? Or is thinking too generous a word?
Olivia, just 30 seconds here. Are Republicans going to do anything about this?
You know, there are reports that she's going to have a talking to from Kevin McCarthy. I spoke to the parents of one of the victims at Parkland at that shooting. His name is Scott Beagle. And they are devastated that someone like her is in power. And I think a lot of people agree with them. But only time will tell whether or not she will formally be pushed back on at all by leadership.
Olivia Nitze, Washington correspondent for New York Magazine, and Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for NBC News. Thanks to you both.